So hello and welcome to the Deep Dale podcast. It's the end of April 2020. The world is a very different place to the last time you heard from us. And I'm sitting here in the Backpackers Hostel in a very, very quiet Burnham Deep Dale with Nathan sitting opposite me. We're doing proper social distancing podcasting here. He's clasping a hot cup of coffee because there's no heating on in the Backpackers Hostel, and it's quite chilly today, actually, when you're not in the sun.
It's a little bit fresh.
Yes, and we're sitting here sort of feeling slightly strange, but we felt that we wanted to put a podcast out, say hello to all of our lovely customers. You probably noticed we didn't put one out in March. We had recorded one, and we'd got very excited about spring markets and the hygge and all of that kind of thing. But as you know, sadly, world had other plans, and those events have not taken place. And of course, this weekend would have been the Beltane, and we would have all been in the barn dancing away to man the lifeboats. But again, that's not to be this weekend. Fingers crossed, at some point soon, we'll all be dancing in the barn again. But we'll just have to wait and see. But in the meantime, life at Deep Dale continues. Nathan lives here, so he is enjoying the kind of weird peace and quiet while the farm continues to do what it does, the supermarket continues to do what it does, and everything else doesn't continue to do anything at the moment. So it's kind of weird. So, hello, Nathan.
Hello.
We don't see very much of each other at the moment, do we?
It's true. I've missed you. Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it?
We talk every day,
yeah,
or numerous times a day.
We do, yeah. Now, I think we're pretty switched on and techno-savvy. We've been on Zoom. We've got Zoom and all the video calls and all that stuff going on. So it's, you know, it's good. But it's nice to see you face to face.
Yeah, and it's nice to be here and walk some fields and look at stuff and just generally kind of feel like this is where I belong, which is quite nice, really.
Yeah.
See my mum through the window and wave hello and check that she's okay, and you know, maybe see Gaynor later and see Estelle and Steve. And so there is a few of the team are still here, you know, they're still around. Farming continues. You've been lately sort of rolling crops and learning to drive a power harrow, haven't you? Exciting stuff like that.
Yeah, the point has been made by others that working in farming, social distancing is reasonably easy because there's plenty of space to have a bit of distance. So we've got a few of us are here on the farm still full time. We're continuing to work away. Nature doesn't stop, crops don't stop growing, so the farm is still in full flow, and we're doing our best to be cautious and careful around each other. And we're getting on and working, and it's been a mix of different bits and pieces. Yes, I've been driving a tractor just recently, doing tractor safety and forklift operation, and it's been fun.
Yeah, and you planted a lot of hedges, you and Stephen, and with some help from various partners in crime.
Yeah, so we've had an interesting situation with one of our fields over the winter. We had you'll probably remember, we had some rather heavy rainfall, Storm Kira and Storm Dennis.
It was literally every Sunday, as Stephen seemed to remember, because
yep.
He was the only one on.
Yeah, indeed. And so that rainfall caused us some issues with one or two of our fields, and we to rectify some issues, deal with some issues with runoff from some of our fields. We've had some support from the Norfolk Rivers Internal Drainage Board and from the Norfolk Rivers Trust, doing some earthworks to put in dikes and ditches to capture rainwater, to put in a huge pond, which we're looking forward to developing at some point as a lovely resource for wildlife. And the lovely guys at Norfolk Rivers Trust, who've got a setup called the Water Sensitive Farming Initiative, they have supported us to put some hedgerow plants and trees in. And so we had about 2,600 trees and hedgerow plants. And then the whole coronavirus thing kicked off and we didn't have any volunteers to plant them with.
Yeah, sadly our hedge collective couldn't come along to work with them.
So our fantastic volunteers, unfortunately, we couldn't have them along. So we had all hands to the pump with the farm staff, basically sticking in all these plants. And now we put these things in to deal with flooding, and then of course it didn't rain for ages. So we've now had to go out and onto the field and water them to make sure that they get going. But we've got some fairly happy looking hedging plants,
and we had some rain today.
I'm so happy. Yeah.
I know. Who would have thought when we were standing watching that water running off that field like it was going, that we would ever be praying for rain?
I know. And, it's been so weird. Just buckets and buckets of rain over winter, really causing us some problems. And then really, really, really dry. And we were just really, really hoping for some rain. And we're in a sort of peculiar situation in this spot on the coast where we're really, really close to the sea. You know, it's about a kilometre away, if that. And, you know, high tide, it gets a lot closer. But there's hardly any rain. It's like water everywhere and not a drop for us. But yeah, we've had some today and it's been really, really helpful. It's watered some new grass seed we've put down, and some wildflower seeds that I just put down the other day, and some hedgerow plants and some trees, and the plants appreciate it.
And then we hope everybody is staying really safe out there, and that you're surviving it both mentally and physically with the very, very strange. We've been having a bit of a debate about whether it's a strange, strange world, a weird world, a scary world. I'm sticking with strange, strange, because I don't think one strange is enough. But, you know, we hope that wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're managing to stay sane and safe. And we hope that when this all sort of becomes a thing of the past, that you'll return and see us, and that we'll... The new hedges and all of the other work that we're doing around the farm, the cover crops, which will be beautiful, beautiful, stunning flowers everywhere, will really help the wildlife. And the wildlife is thoroughly enjoying you all being at home. The deer are becoming, I think, safe. We could safely say less nervous about attending parts of the farm that they weren't otherwise visiting.
You can definitely say that. We've had there's been a deer that's been a regular visitor to the information centre, and I don't speak deer, so I don't know how to tell it that we're not open just at the moment, but it's showing up every day anyway. But yeah, the wildlife on the farm has been fantastic. We've got swallows darting around the place left, right and centre. We've got a hedge chock full of sparrows making an absolute racket.
You can probably even hear them on this, to be honest.
Indeed. And even just as we were standing around on the farmyard talking earlier on, we had a kestrel overhead, we've had a red kite, we've had various birds darting around the place, a sparrow hawk just shooting past us the other day while we're talking. So nature's certainly appreciating the peace and quiet at the moment. Yeah,
and we may not have to cut back the new hedges very much, because I'm sure the deer are coming down and going, supper.
They're definitely snacking. Yeah, we took a decision, some might see it as foolhardy, not to put any protection on the hedgerow plants, and the hedgerow plants have been nibbled, but they actually are still growing, and the result of them being nibbled off at the top is they put out bushy growth further down. So actually the result of this is that they're actually going to make as long as they keep going, they're going to make fantastic hedging plants, because they'll be nice and bushy.
Yeah, so fingers crossed. But yeah, I think the hedgehogs and the deer are loving this this time, and I think persuading them that they should leave you in peace when you're sleeping in a tent might be interesting. So prepare for visitors when you next come to stay, because the wildlife have decided they own the place, unlike us. So
they're taking it back. That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So one of the big jobs that we're doing at the moment is still sort of prepping for things like harvest and thinking about what we're going to put in the ground next, and having discussions with various contractors and such like. And so life still does go on. The team in Deepdale Stores, the little supermarket here, are doing the most amazing job at managing to keep the stock shelf, the shelves stocked even, and just generally kind of feeding the local population. Nathan has booked his slot for fish and chips from Eric's on Friday. You know, it's a pre-booked kind of head there. So he has been excited about that for longer than he probably should have been.
It's
but,
true.
You know, it's a major outing to go and pick up fish and chips these days.
We've had local businesses have actually just been such absolute stars through this whole situation. So Deepdale Stores have been amazing and have kept the shelves stocked and have put in all the sort of social distancing measures, and they're looking after the guys that are working there. And we've had Staithe Smokehouse have been, they're delivering smoked fish and all sorts of goodies all over Norfolk, and they're still doing their thing. And so many of these little businesses around the place are really sort of doing an amazing job of, they're delivering, or they're sort of like Bertram Windmill. I picked up a veg box and some flour from there the other day, and they've got this kind of queuing system, which is really great. You sort of, everyone's keeping their distance from each other, and you're able to sort of go and get your stuff. So, it's been fantastic. And I was very happy to receive also my box of beer from our good mates at Moongazer, at Norfolk Brewhouse, Moongazer Ale, the other day. They're still doing their thing. So yeah, these guys are fantastic.
Yeah, we've started promoting a lot of these businesses on the Dalegate Market social media. These guys were going to be with us for the spring market. Fingers crossed they'll be with us, in the not too distant future for other events. But we've started sort of putting on there any of the local businesses who come to us regularly, if they're still producing and still delivering or posting out stuff. So there's all sorts of weird and wonderful things there, from home furnishing companies to beer makers to gin makers, that sort of important stuff, chutneys, all of that kind of thing. So just keep an eye on there and keep checking there, and we'll keep you updated on who's the thing. And the most important was So Sweet with their massive bars of chocolate, which I, as soon as my wife realized that they were ordering, a order went straight in.
So good,
so tasty. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, please do keep an eye out on that, and we will keep you up to date with how events are going to happen, if they're going to happen, when things become clearer. But just keep watching the space. We keep posting lovely photos. If you've got any lovely photos you want us to share, then please do send them through to us. We'd be happy to put them on the website and remind people of the beautiful part of the world that many of them are missing. I feel like I haven't seen the sea for ages, and I haven't come down here very often. So I'm mainly working from home with my wife teaching and stuff. So I'm trying to sort of keep away and not bring the infection to the small village of Burnham Deepdale. But just occasionally I need to stand in a field and just check that the world is still real. So that's quite important. Check on the others. And we will let you know as and when things happen and change the plans going forward. But right now, we just carry on with surviving these weird times. Simon, who you know from being on the podcast a few times, and anybody who stayed on the campsite will know, he's done, he and I have recorded some top fives, his top five beers and his top five exercises for when you are in isolation, and so we'll slot those in, and then Nathan in the middle of the night woke up worrying about something on the farm, which seems to be sort of one of us do that most times, but he got up and had a listen and heard the most amazing dawn chorus. So he's recorded that, and we're going to put that as our chill moment at the end of, well, chill minutes at the end of this podcast. So you can put that on and have a wonderful listen and just chill out and enjoy the amazing dawn chorus, which is just so loud. It's fantastic. So
I swear it's got louder. I don't know what it is, but certainly the birds just seem to have turned up the volume. It's awesome.
Yeah. And you heard, you've heard cuckoos recently?
Even just earlier on today, we had a cuckoo in the woodland behind St. Mary's Church. So it was lovely to hear the cuckoo. I heard a cuckoo the other day down at Burnham Norton. So they are definitely making their presence felt.
And we've got birds nesting on one or two of the fields and stuff, haven't we? So
yeah, we have various signs of birds nesting, and we're taking, so you know, we're taking all sort of, you know, reasonable measures that we can to try and make sure that any nests that we're aware of you know, are kept protected. So yeah, we've got you know, various animals are going to want to make their home in various different spots around the farm, and we've got, you know, some interesting wildlife to keep an eye on.
Yeah, we will, as we get photos and stuff. Nathan's been sort of taking photos and trying to capture one or two bits. So as and when we manage to get stuff for you, we'll post that on our social media and on our blog. And Nathan's been writing up some news from the farm on the Deepdale Farm website, sort of updating you and keeping up to date with what work is actually going on while everybody else is at home doing Joe Wick's workouts and eating too much chocolate. Yeah, you know, we hope you really do stay well, and we look forward to hosting you. Believe us, the whole team are itching to have you all come and stay with us again soon. So as soon as we can, we hope to have you back here. But keep well in the meantime. Enjoy the rest of the podcast. And we will see you sometime in the hopefully not too distant future. Thanks for listening. Cheers. I think you've come up with some top fives, haven't you? So some top fives of how to sort of entertain yourself and stuff.
I have, Jason. Yeah, I've got a few. It's very important, of course, to keep busy these times. A lot of people locked away, not locked away, hopefully. But yeah, I've got some exercises, things to keep you on top of things while we're enjoying this, or trying to enjoy this lockdown. First thing I'll do is, of course, some exercises. Because you've got to have some exercises. So would you like to hear these then, Jason?
Yeah, go for it. Are you not at 9 o'clock in the morning with Joe? Is it Joe Swift, you know, doing all your crunches and things? Are you regularly logging onto that?
No. A friend of mine has told me about that, but 9 o'clock in the morning. it's a bit early for me during the lockdown. I'm trying to occupy as much, you know, take as much time as I can during the days. So yeah, 9 o'clock, too early for me. But I've heard he's very popular.
Yeah, I think he's keeping a lot of people stretching. Although quite a lot of people commented that it was significantly harder than they thought it might be. I'm not sure whether that's a reflection on their own fitness or whether the actual workouts are significantly harder. Who knows?
It's surprising. I think intensity. Intensity is the key to any exercise. You do it to the intensity that you want. Now, I've got some exercises here that are incredibly easy, and you can start them. Well, you can start doing them very basic ways. I've got the first one here, which is simple plank, which I'm sure you've heard of, Jason.
I do. I do my plank 3 or 4 times a week after my runs.
Exactly.
So I definitely. How long do you recommend planking for?
As long as you are comfortable with it. It's an individual exercise, obviously. Do look it up if you're wondering what we're on about. But essentially, you get yourself down into a press-up position if you want, and you just hold it. Now, that's a basic plank, but you can make them easier. You can drop down onto your knees, or even take it from your knees and elbows and just hold that position until you feel uncomfortable, and then have a rest. And that's got to be one of the best exercises going out there to keep your whole body nice and balanced and trim. And of course, you can write down, you know, whether you did 30 seconds or 2 minutes, and then improve on it the next day.
Excellent. Excellent. The idea is to keep the top half of your legs and your torso in a straight line, isn't it? So whether you're on your knees or whether you're on your elbows or whether you're on your in a press-up position, the idea is to keep a straight line for the sort of top half of your legs and your torso, so they're in a dead straight line. So it's really
challenging your core.
It certainly does, yes, yes. Definitely want to look up if you're not sure. If you know what they are, get on and do them. A couple of times a day, once in the morning, once in the evening, or even just once a day if we're comfortable with that. But it's a great exercise, and it definitely does the trick. And that's just the first one. I've got five of them here. So we'll quickly skip over to the next one, which is going to be squats. We all know what squats are. Stand up, dip yourself down, and then pick yourself back up again. And again, you can do these to any degree you're comfortable with. If you only get sort of a couple of inches of movement, at least you're engaging those thighs, getting those knees to work, your feet, your hamstrings, everything will be working. So just do what you can. A few squats, a couple of times a day while the kettle's boiling. And you'll be surprised at the results you'll get just from squats. Are you a squatter, Jason?
I squat before I go running, before anybody panics what I was about to say then. So it's a good dynamic warm-up, that and yeah, and it just sort of really gets the leg muscles going before I plod round my route.
Yeah, got to have a stretch before a run. Now, you run quite a way, don't you, Jason? You run often and far.
I try and run 3 times a week, and I try to run about 20K a week. So I tend to do either sort of 3, 6, or 7K runs, or I do sort of a couple of 5Ks and then do a 10, depending on how the mood takes, really.
depending on the weather.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I don't mind the weather so much, actually. I find it tends to relate to how stressed I am about things, and you know, whether I just feel I want to clear my head. I find it a really good way to de-stress.
You've hit the nail on the head. Exercise is a great way to de-stress. Whether you're doing some intense exercise and you want to work something out, or you want to relax, you want to do some gentle exercises and feel it afterwards, which always helps me relax, you know, do some exercise. And then you get that relaxation as your heart rate decreases, your breathing steadies. And it's surprising how calming a good bit of exercise can be, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's a great way to clear the brain, or sort the brain, I think, rather than clear it. You know, you
sort the brain. Yes, yeah. Yes. Now, if you want to really work the brain, my number three exercise is burpees.
Oh, I hate burpees so much.
Horrible exercises.
It's evil. They are pure evil. I got bought a T-shirt once that said "I love burpees," and then when you actually read it, the love heart is made up of the word hate. It's just vile. I hate them, but they are really good for you.
They are a fantastic exercise. Again, just a quick description of them. Let's take it from standing up. So you would, let's do a jump. So you would jump. If you can manage a star jump, get your arms up, your legs apart. And then when you land, go down into a squat, into a press up position, isn't it? Do a press up and then back up again to another star jump. And I would say if you can do those for a couple of minutes, you're incredibly healthy.
yeah, I would agree. Yeah, if you can do that for a couple of minutes, then I'm impressed.
Yeah. I do know somebody that is adamant that they are this COVID-19 going to be practicing their burpees, so she tells me. But at the moment, she just slowly stands up, does a little jump, and then gets down on all fours and slowly gets into a sort of a press-up position, as it were, and then picks herself back up again off the floor. And to be honest, I am incredibly impressed just with that. And she says she does that a couple of times, and that's it. She's out of breath. That's enough for her. Thank you.
Actually, tell you what, I find burpees are easier if you've got something to kind of put your hands onto when you go down into the sort of press-up position. So you're slightly raised off the ground. I don't know what it is. It just makes it a much more enjoyable experience. So either a sort of a step, or you know, a log, or something that's solid and you can sort of rest your hands on. I don't know why. It just makes it more comfortable.
Ah, there you go. Top tip there from Jason. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'll try that actually next time I'm doing some. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Shall we move on to the next one? Get away.
Get away from burpees, yes. Let's move to number four.
Number four is a nice, simple one, leg raises. Just lie on your back and just lift your legs. Whether you do one leg or both legs. And essentially, just, keep engaging your core. And you'll be surprised at the results of leg raises every day. You don't have to go very hard.
Secret is to keep your back flat on the ground, so don't let your back arch.
You're quite right there. Yes. Keep your back flat on the ground. And again, something I find is you can engage a lot more individual muscles if you don't push down with the leg, the opposite leg to the one you're raising. Just leg raises. Feel them out, see how you feel. Essentially, lie on your back. Put something under your back if you want. Don't lie on a hard concrete floor and do this. Support yourself and breathe with it, of course. And do a few leg raises here and there. You'll be surprised, first thing in the morning. You'll be surprised you'll feel those all through the day, hopefully.
Excellent. Excellent. What's your number five?
Number five. Just stretch. Just stretch every day. Not an exercise in itself. Call it yoga. Call it just having a stretch. Maybe you've been sat at a desk writing, you're on lockdown, or you've been sat playing a computer game all day. Whatever it is, do take time, please, ladies and gents. Take time to just stretch yourself out, whether it's raising your arms above your head or trying to touch your toes, however you want to do it, just stretch. I think it's vitally important to keep limber in these times when we're not the most active we've been.
Excellent. They're great. They're fantastic. Thank you, Simon. That's superb. And you can do those however big a space you live in.
Run through them again for you. That's the plank, some squats, a few burpees, some leg raises, and then, of course, stretch. Stretch all the time.
Hello, it's Nathan here, and I've got some tips on baking sourdough bread. You might be jumping on this mad craze at the moment of trying out a bit of sourdough baking during lockdown. Try and enjoy it, and I hope you end up with some fantastic results. You'll be able to find, there's masses of recipes online, find one that works for you, and find a sort of a nice schedule to do it. Thing about sourdough is it takes a little bit of time, but it's actually sort of fairly low effort, and you end up with some fantastic results. Sourdough tastes great, and it makes amazing toast, and it's actually easier to digest than a lot of the shop-bought bread that you get, so it's really worth giving it a go. So I've got some tips for you. So number one, I always get really good results when the dough starts off quite wet. You might actually feel like your dough is sort of so sticky that you might be tempted to add flour. Don't add flour. Don't worry. If your dough feels a little bit wetter than you sort of maybe think it should be, you're probably in around about the right place. So persevere when you're kneading it. And if you wet your hands just under the tap, then eventually you'll find that the dough will come off your fingers and will actually stick to the ball of dough on the board. Also, don't feel the temptation to put flour onto the board. Use a little bit of oil instead. That's a Paul Hollywood tip. So use a little bit of oil on your board, and that will help the dough to stop sticking quite so much. So number two, when you leave your dough to rise, be patient. Most recipes say to wait for a few hours for it to rise. It might take a little bit longer than that. And also, don't worry too much, particularly if you're baking a wholemeal or a granary. Don't worry if your dough doesn't get absolutely massive. As long as it increases in size a bit, then you're probably going to be okay. Make sure that you keep your dough somewhere warm, in an airing cupboard, in a bowl where you've oiled the sides, and put some cling film and a damp tea towel over the top. Just take your time with it and be patient with it. Number three, I find when I'm proving my loaf, that's when I've risen it and I've knocked it back and I've put it into the basket where I'm going to prove it, or I've put it into a bowl with a tea towel and lots of flour rubbed into it. Use loads and loads of flour to stop the loaf from sticking. And then what I find works really well is I actually prove my dough in the fridge overnight. So I can start to make my loaf on a Friday night, and I've proved it in the fridge overnight, and then it's ready to bake on the Saturday morning with no effort at all. So yeah, do try proving your dough in the fridge overnight. Apart from anything else, it gives it longer to develop a really good flavor. Right, number four, turn your oven up as hot as it will go, screaming hot. So some recipes will say about 230 degrees, 220, just turn your oven all the way up, 250 degrees, something like that. It's really worth it. You'll make sure that your loaf rises and you get a really good color on it. And what I also do is, instead of using a tray with some steam in the oven, you do need the steam. The reason that you have steam in the oven at the same time as your bread is it stops the crust from getting hard too quickly, so that the loaf can rise as much as it wants to. But rather than using a tray and doing it that way, find an oven-proof casserole dish with a lid, and basically heat that up well in the oven so it's really nice and hot. And either tip your loaf into that or lower your loaf in gently using some baking paper, and then basically bake it inside that casserole with a lid on for about 30 minutes. And then when you've done your 30 minutes, take the lid off and just let the loaf brown for about 15 minutes or so. You get really good results with that. And also the loaf is basically baking in its own steam, so you don't get a really, really steamy wet oven and water all over the floor. Anyway, those are my little tips. Well worth giving it a go, however you want to do it. Just enjoy it. And even if it doesn't look perfect the first time, chances are it's still going to taste really good. Enjoy yourself.
My top five beers, going in no particular order, honestly. Starting at number five is, of course, Corona. If you can get it, it's on the supermarket shelves. Why it's not going cheap, I do not know, but it's got to be. For 2020, spring 2020, the best beer is Corona.
It's a nice summer drink, isn't it? Slot of lime in the top. Yeah, it goes very well with a barbecue or just a warm afternoon.
Definitely. It's a nice light beer. Moving on to my number four, which is also available in all of the supermarkets, is a session IPA called Neck Oil.
Neck Oil?
Yes. Yes, it comes in a bright coloured can, and it is a beautiful, again, it's a session IPA, so it's another pale ale, but it is zest. As zesty as you can get. It's almost a fruit juice, like a tropical fruit juice, as a beer. And it is a beautiful one. So that's Neck Oil.
So we had number five was coronavirus.
Not coronavirus, Jason, no.
Corona beer, sorry. It's an easy slip. So number four was, again?
Neck Oil. And I forget which brewery it is. I haven't got a can with me. I threw them all out yesterday. But yeah, you'll find it. Session IPA in all your supermarkets. This one's a local beer. This is from Heacham, the Fox Brewery,
which is
fantastic beer. And it's their classic. It's their Heacham Gold, which I've been drinking for years now. I know the brewer, good friend of mine, and Heacham Gold. Get in touch with the Fox and Hounds. Sure, they will be happy to send you a case. That's not a plug. Sorry, you can cut that if you like, Jason.
No. Plugs are always good for local businesses. We don't mind that at all.
Yeah. So that's my number three beer is Heacham Gold. Again, a pale an IPA.
What comes in at number two?
Number two is the Moongazer Brewery. And anything to do with them. Jason, I'm sure you know them very well. We have them at our festivals.
Yeah, Rachel and David, the lovely Moongazer guys. And otherwise, sometimes used to be known as Norfolk Brewhouse, and now is now all related to Moongazer, and they're all the beers are named after after hares, or activities of hares, so jumper and all of that kind of thing.
They are, and I must say, the pintail and Jigfoot
There we are. Jigfoot. That's the one I was drinking the other day. Beautiful beers. Again, probably be able to get in touch with them, and they'll send you out some if you ask them nicely. Well, and
they're not delivering directly. What they're doing is they're selling through Beers of Europe. So you can go on to Beers of Europe and you can select a whole massive variety of beers, but basically you can buy either just sort of cases of their beer, the Moongazer beer, or you can order a mixed case of different types of beers through Beers of Europe, and it's well worth doing that. You can also, they're also still delivering to local shops and stuff, so I believe you can pick their beers up in Deepdale stores in Burnham Deepdale and various other sort of local shops and farm shops. So worth having a look around for.
Oh, that's fantastic, Jason. Thank you for that information. Good. You've got to be able to track down beers, haven't we, in these times?
Very important.
Yeah. Well, my number one beer, and I'm sure, Jason, you've heard me talk no end about it, is Northern Monk, their brewery. And any of their Northern Monk beers that they do, which are numerous to say the least, but I've been enjoying at the moment one of their patrons projects, along with a gentleman called Hayes Outdoors, and I've been drinking that particular beer, which was a limited edition, and it's absolutely lovely. It's an imperial stout. And it's got blueberries and honey in it. And that's a Northern Monk patron project beer.
See, I can't do stout. I used to be able to when I was younger and didn't get hangovers. But stout now, it doesn't like me and I don't like it anymore, unfortunately. So I like the Jigfoot style beers, which are sort of much lighter, quaffable, enjoyable beers. So but you know, there's something for everybody out there in the beer world. I'm gonna put a little shout out for a really lovely friend of mine called Estelle, who runs the Canopy Beer Company in London, and she sent out mixed boxes of her fabulous beers as well. I'll just throw that in there because it's great beers. But I would, you know, if you can buy a local, that's absolutely awesome, and I definitely recommend the Moongazer beers, and I would definitely recommend looking around and seeing what other beers are out there, the Fox Brewery as well, and things like that. So thank you, that's a fantastic top five. Thank you, Simon, that is really great.
No problem, anytime, Jason. You want a top five of anything, I'm your man.
Excellent, we like that.
Say, can I've just grabbed a pen just to write down the name of the brewery your friend is part of.
Oh, the Canopy Brewery.
Canopy Brewery.
Yeah.
And so, where's that based?
So that's based down in London, and they do the funkiest artwork for their cans. You can get a sort of a mixed box, either sort of 25 or 50 beers in a box, and it's...
Love it.
Yeah, they're great.
I love the artwork now that you find on cans of beer. They seem to be the new artist outlet is if you can get some artwork around a can of beer.
Yeah, it used to be covers of vinyl records, didn't it? And now it's beer cans.
And now it's
great.
Beer cans. Yeah. It's fantastic. I mean, Northern Monk, they do a what they call a peeler, where you can peel the label off.
Oh, that's cool. Actually, so you can keep the labels.
It has stuff actually inside it as well, depending on the patron project that they've worked with, be it an artist or a designer, architects, and there's loads of information in there as well. So, it's a new art form, isn't it?
That's great. I love that idea. It's fantastic. Really good.
Worth checking out. Of course, beer. Always, always well worth having a nice, responsible look at.
Yes, and nice chilled beer is always fantastic. And of course, sadly, normally we would be thoroughly enjoying them while we were in the courtyard at Deepdale listening to great music. But The world is not allowing us to do those sorts of things at the moment. And of course, this weekend would have been the Beltane. So another event that we've sadly had to cancel, which is heartbreaking. But you know, we'll when we do get to celebrate again, we will do it in style, and our wonderful friends David and Rachel will be there with their wonderful beers. So I'm sure we can. We're all looking forward to that.
Looking forward to a big party when this all when it's all blows over.
Things to do while you can't visit Deepdale, which we've been publicising on our social media, just to sort of keep people entertained. And I thought I'd pull out a few of those. You can go to our Facebook page, which is deepdale.backpackers, so facebook.com/deepdale.backpackers, or you can head to our Twitter account, which is @deepdalefarm. And there are a whole heap of really, really interesting things that we put on there. We started with the Lego challenge, a 30-day Lego challenge. I am a massive fan of Lego, an unapologetic fan of Lego, which may make slightly fly in the face of my love for real ale. But they go together well, I don't know. So we started with a 30-day Lego challenge. We've done things like a very cryptic Easter egg hunt on Easter Day, which is great fun. It's all really worth going to try. You've got to find 20 Norfolk towns and villages for some very weird clues. And then there's a brilliant colouring book created by Lucy Knights, who created a whole bunch of colouring things that you can download a free PDF and colour in lots of different bits, and they're great fun. So there's a camper van staying on the coast, which we like to think is at Deepdale. There's things in Norwich, there's various other places, beach huts at Wells and stuff, all to colour in. So if you've just got some colouring pens, it's a great way to entertain yourselves. And I believe that adult colouring is almost as popular as kids colouring. And then the other one I really like is that I found through the Open University, there's a whole bunch of free courses you can do, like a huge number of free courses. And one of them we noticed is how to learn Dutch in a 3-week introductory foreign language course, which is very cool. So there's some really good stuff on there. You can borrow free books from your local library online. There's all sorts of other bits and pieces. A friend of mine called Tom, he's been doing Discover Your Inner Artist videos, where he takes you through sketching and doodling and colorer and, you know, all sorts of other stuff. So they're really worth watching. So there's lots of really good stuff on there. And I would highly recommend having a look at that list and choosing what you fancy doing while you can't visit Deepdale. We really hope you enjoy those. Well, thank you so much, Simon. Really nice to chat with you. And thank you for being my experiment with this Zoom system. And hopefully we'll get this out there fairly soon, and we'll all be enjoying at least having a podcast, even if we can't actually all be together.
Ah, Jason, thank you. No, it's been a pleasure to join you on the podcast today. Of course, I wish everybody listening in all the best. And come on, looking forward to seeing you all soon once all of this calms down. So as soon as it's safe, folks, let's have a good celebration.
Thank you for listening, everyone. It's great to have had you here with us in the podcast. Sorry we can't host you at Deepdale at the moment, but we do hope you are staying safe and well. We leave you with the wonderful dawn chorus recorded by Nathan as the birds wake up and set Burnham Deepdale alive with their wonderful, wonderful voices. Thanks for listening. See you soon. Bye-bye.